96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, February 6th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host today as we have talking about what's highlighted inside the news. This weekend has been awesome for news commentators. The bloggers are going crazy. I am just busy with my thumbs just posting and pressing send and pressing send and pressing send. So I'm excited. And of course, I have Erin Green with me, and she is going to go basically have a conversation with me about the top topics, why eyes be vexed, why eyes be smiling, why eyes be say, my Lord, you see this, right? Because all weekend I've been sending a text. Did you read this in the news? So that's what we're going to be talking about. And of course, Scroogey, Valentino Brown, is still here with us. And I want to hear his commentary on one or two of these things too. But be that, I know Erin wanted to finish one or two points. We'll be talking about the community in the inner city, and then we'll go into the headlines of the news. Go ahead, Erin.
Yeah. I wanted to give Scrooge an opportunity to sort of, you know, close out the conversation as we make the transition, but like still be a part of the conversation.
Yes, no problem.
Because it's something I ought to talk about in the paper right now. I asked you to come in. Let's talk about the difference between community violence and gang violence. And I think we've done that, may have been a little bit clear about it, because what I see is that people are experiencing forms of violence in their communities that we don't traditionally recognize as forms of violence, yeah. Right? All of us, most of us, the vast majority of us this morning may have woken up to no power, no electricity. Right? The stress that evokes in the body, it engenders, it creates in the bodies of people who had an agenda for the day, and now everything is thrown off because they don't know if they could iron, if they could bathe, if they could cook, they don't know when the power's coming and the rest of their lives. And those are people who have options, who could go to their cousin's house and bathe. How do these things impact people who have limited options and are constrained by the circumstances of their environment? The housing crisis is violence in the inner city community. Food insecurity is violence in the inner city community.
All of it.
The lack of citizen safety. Children can't walk home without being solicited either by drug dealers or by wannabe pimps and perverts.
Predators,
right? All of these things are violence, and they can drive young people and communities to gang violence, to gang culture, you know, on top of existing trust issues, the trust deficit with the police and the state. And I've enjoyed this conversation because as far as I'm concerned, we have not spent one moment vilifying people, but attempting to understand the circumstances that drive their behavior and their attitudes.
Yes.
And I think that's the first step to
understand them.
Don't demonize people.
No.
Understand that the circumstances they're living in are demonic.
Right.
And no one should have to live like that.
No.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be living in a country where we have less crime. Or let me just say that. I think that with us having 128 per year, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if we look at what you're saying now, Ms. Green, the community is have a lot of mental health issues. Mm. All right? There are a lot of people out there in the country right now has a lot of mental health. As simple as the current going off this morning, many people were probably getting light from our neighbor, just getting kids ready for the school this morning, or looking to cook some breakfast using a hot plate. And these things it's unacceptable in our country. Now, we might not look at it as violence, but everything you talked about and what Mr. Nuri said adds up to that, especially in the community that is actually poor. Ms. Grant, 40 years ago, I could point on Lewis Street and Taylor Street and Haitian Point Hood or second, what we used to call them? Second class, what do we call them?
Middle class.
The middle class. And they, like, people who had money. Now, You can't find one middle-class home in this inner-city community mm-hmm. with persons who are doing really, really, really good. So what you have now is a bunch of poor people with a lot of illegal people who are coming in the country. We already doing bad. I mean, us as behemoths. But now we have a illegal set of people who are 10 times. Listen, we done desperate. You can imagine you done desperate. You done desperate in your own country. You's a behemoth. I mean behemoth. Mm-hmm. You done desperate. Now, you get people who come here undocumented, right? But they have to live. They have to survive. Since the person said early in the show that I using excuses, here's the excuse that I'm trying to explain to you. How and what you think those persons are going to do when they come to this land and see an opportunity here, if they don't have no documents, are you think all are going to try to get the documents? Or some are going to do things illegally, like stealing the texter, man, stealing and all that stuff. I never mentioned that I'm going to steal. I ain't saying I encourage people to steal. Or I encourage somebody to rape. Those things are even in my mind. I'm saying all of these things with the desperation. We done desperate in the mind. I mean behemoths. Those who come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who come here? They are 10 or 20 times more desperate. So what you think they're going to do to me and you if they're not properly,
socialized
in this country?
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity now to segue into the mainstream topic, because I want to include that with the inner city living, right? Mm-hmm. Yesterday, it was a big blouse and skirt and fire.
Yeah.
This fire ripped through a shanty town and destroying scores of houses yesterday, right? And I want to know what next. I saw an old clip from the Prime Minister, Philip Davis, who said that if you plan to move the people out of the shanty, you need to find someplace to put them.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I know that scores, families, but at least 20, 30 families.
50 families is reported.
Say 50 families do not have a place to sleep tonight. What are we going to do? The Prime Minister already hinted that what it needs to be done. So I assume that social services needs to be enacted. The Red Cross needs to be enacted. What's the next one on top of the hill on Mackey Street name? The Salvation Army needs to be enacted and find housing for these desperate people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm trying to say, what is going on? What are we supposed to be doing? And then you have coupled with Scrooge said that in the inner city, the inner city have poor Bohemians trying to survive, and now they're being inundated by a refugees now who came to the Bahamas in a desperate life, right? Who if you call the Bohemian level of living substandard, they are are actually below that.
Mm-hmm.
We are now creating a culture of substandard living that has become mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge mentioned that it's hard pressed to find a middle class person,
mm-hmm.
a working class person who will have a house and owning the house, will have a car, be able to send one child to private mm-hmm. school. You don't see that no more in the inner city.
No,
that narrative has gone.
Finish. Mm-hmm.
Right? So what is it that our government is doing? What is it that we're supposed to be pushing for? And now I just don't know. I just don't know what to say.
Well, I mean, first of all, we live in a hurricane zone. This shouldn't even be a question. The first instruction would be divert the residents to the hurricane shelter.
What hurricane shelter?
That's the point I'm making, gentlemen. That's the point I'm making. The hurricane. We don't even have a hurricane shelter. There should have already been a plan. There is no plan, right? And so I say that to say this, like, somebody is going to say, man, Cecil, you telling them to spend money on the Haitians? Are they already illegal? No, what I'm saying is if you were thinking about your own people, mm-hmm. if you rated them, if you valued them, mm-hmm. there would already be a solution for this, catastrophic event that rendered 50 homes worth of people homeless. That's all. Right? That's what we should expect to see. There should be a plan. Also, why should there be a plan? Because you know that shanty towns exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know the risk.
In
fact,
the risk.
The Royal Bahamas Police Force Fire Service should have already conducted a survey to tell you, here's the risk of a fire breaking out mm-hmm. in one of these communities, right?
We knew this beforehand. Didn't we know this beforehand?
I'm cracking down on these things.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, these are the things we should expect right now, because a functioning government should be doing these things.
So what about inspectors going to these places, inspecting them, and then saying, hey, this is unhealthy and unsanitized. We're going to have to shut this down.
Yeah.
See, and this is where I find now, the headline frustrating.
Yeah.
And the headline said that the attorney general is going to the court to seek permission.
Hold on, pause. But we know why that is, because an injunction is in place. And then before you tear down a structure, you should show to some authority that the structure actually requires being destruction, because it doesn't fit the parameters of the law. All the court is saying is prove that it doesn't fit the parameters of the law.
That the court does not have the right or the authority to tell the government to say, well, the light bill is going to be collected because you use light. You don't go to the court to say, well, why the light turn off? That's automatic.
No, hold on.
Yeah. If you bill a property without permission and to the code, you don't go to the court to say, man, these people
in your statement is the answer. Obviously, somebody has presented something to the court or an authority to suggest that some sort of approval has been given. What the court has said is, come to us to verify that you are following your own procedure. That suggests to me that the court has an instance or think is not following its own procedure.
And what I'm saying, Aaron, the state has yet to challenge the authority of the court. The court has no jurisdiction over this, because this is a regular function of the government. You can't stop the government from doing regular functions. If you bill illegally...
Okay, pause. One second.
Hold on, I want to make this point.
They ain't did it in 75 years. Don't say it regular.
Let me show you.
Yeah.
I was trying to build one wall. Of course, I was trying to... There are people who come and say, you can't build a wall. Where's your number? And say, build, knock the wall down. This is a regular government function.
Right.
You don't go to court and say, man, this person adding on this house. This is a regular government function, and our government has yet to tell the courts, I hear you, I acknowledge what you're trying to say. However, this is a regular government function, and the first estate, the second estate, the judiciary is separate from the executive, and we won't allow you, judiciary, to dictate to us on our section authority to tell us what to
watch
do
this.
When we govern it.
First of all, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if this administration or any prior administration have any sort of authority, first of all, to go to the courts and say that. Second of all, to just jump up and suggest that they've been following any procedure, that they have any concern for what their policy tells them they have to do.
Yeah. This ain't no policy, this is the law. You cannot build a house without government permission.
And so in your statement lies the answer. Why is the court convinced that the government is not... Why is the court convinced that the government has to follow this procedure?
And I hear that. My problem is, why isn't the government challenging the court to say, hey, hold on, I hear what you're saying, but this is need another judicial review, because you don't have the authority tell us what to do.
I would suggest that the government know why they need to listen to the court, and that's why they're listening to the court.
I think the government is listening to the court because of the international ties with CARICOM and the agreement we signed on to. Because, see, the courts and the government, but there's a higher authority over them. If you listen closely when all this happened with the injunction, you'll see where the United Nations spoke on the issues in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the higher authority.
Nah, that's some heavy words, Scrooge. That's some heavy, because Mr. Nuri here could tell you ain't nothing higher than the Constitution in the Bahamas.
You know I was going to mention the Constitution, right?
No.
I
just wanted to
listen. With all of them.
Remember, we sign on. No, but listen, we sign on internationally, see?
Our Constitution trumps
them. No, listen. There's treaties we sign.
Constitution trumps them.
That is separate from the Constitution. Listen. It's a tricky thing with governments, you know. When you sign on to that World Health Organization, you have to take the instruction from the World Health Organization, not the Princess Margaret Hospital, you know, under your government, you know. If you listen to COVID-19, you would hear Cuban Minister say he following the advice of the World Health organization.
And even our constitution trumps that too.
And you hear what Yubin Minister said? Sometimes your constitution got to get
wired. No. That's why he ain't talking to us no more.
This is why we fired.
That's why he
and
got.
He shall never be prime minister.
And Scrooge, I need you to know with all of the mistakes that were made, that statement right there is the reason why he's not in the House of Assembly.
That's right. Because remember, he brought those people in from the airport, but you're saying that you're going to be held in quarantine. They are Bahamian citizens who came at the Bahamas National Airport. And the minute they reached, he took away the constitutional rights. They were taken away and took it to the hotel. And their family or friends didn't know where they were. So, Nuri, you do anything by the book. But remember, there are laws. There are laws right in this country. People are over the Bahamas laws.
But I tell you what, WHO, this thing, that'll be the test. We can talk about that another date.
And all this
but
stuff.
I look in, listen, Cecil, the separation of powers.
That's right.
The separation of powers.
Yeah. And then
the
it's
judiciary,
international power.
The legislature, and the executive.
Yes. And then it's the international.
They can't buck and talk about I as the boss. They have to find balance.
And we see that the judiciary is now saying, okay, let me show you. Let me set this up.
Yeah, yeah.
Suppose the good justice, Justice Thompson, rules that it is now illegal to knock down any shanty towns moving forward.
Yeah.
Then we frig. What do we do after that? Something our government supposed to already preempt.
Okay,
the government should have already preempt her decision if she even could think about that, right? If she ever decides that, yes, no shanty town can ever be destroyed ever in the future of the Bahamas, they should be in law and say, yeah, we put this in place. Let's move that, right? But none of that conversation is happening. And if none of that conversation is happening, right, that means this government, this administration is failing us. The idea that one year later, we seeing that the headlines are saying that the government plans to apply to knock down one or two.
Now listen, why apply? If you have all the power, like you said, why they have to apply?
Okay.
I tell you, there's a higher power.
Pause. Gentlemen. Technically, the matter is before the courts. However, watch this.
Go ahead.
The government actors, like Ministry of Works, Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources, Ministry that houses Department of Environmental Planning, the EPP, right? And start what's happening in the office group and say, look here, we're going to go knock them house down today, you know. Well, what about the PS? The PS don't tell me, just do your job, sir. It can't happen like that. The people at Ministry of Works saying could just jump up and go in the bulldozer and go knock down. An assessment has to be made, right? And no shantytown could just get knocked down. First thing you have to do is you have to clear the shantytown. You have to make sure that there are people not in the buildings. You have to give them notice. You have to send a team in to, clear the building. So ain't nobody just could knock down a shantytown. The second thing is this. Somebody in the Ministry of Works has to receive permission to turn on the bulldozer and start moving towards the house. There has to be an application has to be made. A form has to be filled out within the...
Yes, I see we get a few calls and we can go through them shortly, right? But Aaron, I see the caller. Hold on for me, caller. This is my point, right? I hear you with the application. The Prime Minister already said, in order to bulldoze, we need to find housing for those who live there.
Yes.
We in a housing crisis. We can never find housing. So what you're saying that the shanty town is here for life. But let's go to the corner.
You notice Bahamians in the shanty town. I shut up. I ain't saying that.
Let's go to the corner. Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think you do.
Go ahead, man.
You can't do nothing with the shanty town. Scoot.
Hey.
You mean from the beginning of the time.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And we all here to Oxford Jew, right?
Yeah.
So now let's go down. When you were small, you had this problem. And people before you had the same problem.
You're right.
So there's a problem with immigrants from the beginning of time.
Yes.
Not only the Asians, you know.
No, you're right.
The Chinese, the Jamaicans. But they override all them because of the numbers where they come in.
You're right. The numbers is correct.
I think if the government would use them, now, mind you, I'm 27, so that's just from a young person point of view. If the government would use them, instead of like repatriate them, send them back to the island where they're from, if they had used them to, like, say, build communities.
Yeah, build affordable housing.
Yes. Use them to, like, keep animals. When they come from ID and they come from keeping goats and sheep and doing all these hard labor. The same hard labor with the young beam and do, you could let them do and in Makes return sense. Provide housing for them in certain spots. You mm-hmm. know, not to let them take over the whole place.
Maintain it.
Give them a allocate a spot for them.
Mind what that's mm-hmm. called.
Where they would be able
no
to
free housing.
Call
no.
home.
No, no.
No. Don't mind him. Don't mind him.
No, thank you very much,
Gordon. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Listen to this, right? Please ask Scroogey, how come the illegal immigrants can see opportunities and Bahamians can't in your community?
Listen, why? Desperation. We're being so stagnated as a Bahamian. You know, we're looking for the next big thing. We're looking for that sense of direction. So after time, when we didn't see it happen, we start to lose our way. You know, we start to give up. We start to lose our determination, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd see some people on the street corner calling lampposts. But if you look at them early in life, they were nicely dressed, have a girlfriend. But after a while, things didn't work out for them, and they lost their will. So mm-hmm. a lot of the Bahamians right now have lost their will and desire to actually really want to do good for themselves. Those who come in the country are illegally, mindset to be better. They want to take advantage of the opportunities because they see things differently mm-hmm. than how we see things. They see it as a chance for them to get the best education, the best health care, and for them to become, from poor to at least living
a little bit
standard,
more,
better standard. So they take it more, 10 times more seriously because we are actually dying.
Desperation. Yeah. Matter of necessity.
Yes, we are actually dying. Our spirit is dying.
Absolutely. You know, when Bahamians, I used to say, I'm looking for that square grouper. I'm looking for that. For the Haitian, a good job is a square grouper.
That's for them.
Right? An opportunity to get my children in school, that's their square grouper.
Yes.
The thing that you desperate for, you don't understand the thing,
right.
And it's cultural, it's not all your fault, Bahamian.
No.
You've been bred into a culture, a system that's larger than you.
Yes.
But you have to, you just got to stand on your own and see the world for yourself and realize that, first of all, that time in the Bahamas is gone.
Yes.
And second of all, you got to see the opportunities that sit in front of you.
So let me bait you, Aaron, before we go to the next caller, right?
Yeah.
It's a... The texter, should the immigration department be present on that site of the shantytown when the fire was going?
Of course.
See, Scrooge said, of course, but see, Aaron is a human rights activist, right? Advocate. I know she can say something different.
Yeah, but no, man.
What do you think should happen?
Immigration should have been there. It's not a problem with the presence of these authorities, you know, it's a problem with the behavior and attitude of the authorities on the scene.
Yes.
I don't think that the immigration officers are getting the training necessary to deal with migrants in crisis.
Like our police too.
You're right, like the police. Now, I ain't beating them up.
No.
That's real
I
work.
Agree.
That's training.
Yes.
You got to go to classes to learn how, because you as the authority have to deal with the trauma yourself and you have to help the people deal with the trauma and the fear that they can get locked up at the same time.
I'm planning to get locked up. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, you there?
It's not. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
It's not important that justice is equally as important that justice appears to be done.
It's
reason why I said that, even if this administration had went to the court and they were denied, at least they are would have made attempts.
Yes,
to have it done.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the judges had went, if the immigration or the officials had went into the shantytown and appeared that they're doing raids, it would have seemed to the public like they're trying to do something.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Border Patrol. Even if they were there and they were trying to catch these sloops and the sloops to get away, they would at least say that, hey, we tried, but they got away. Mm. But this administration is doing absolutely nothing. They have not made one attempt to go to court to have that injunction lifted.
They should have done
the Prime Minister is just saying now, after a year, that we're now going to try to see if we're going to get it lifted. So this, I mean, to me, as far as I'm concerned, this government is completely inept. They're not equipped.
No, you hear that?
They just don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
They just can't handle this immigration problem. And it's an immigration problem. If you can't make it appear that you're handling the problem, how do we trust you to handle the rest of the issues that the country faces?
I want to say this.
Thank you very much, Carl. Let me read these two texts and have you both respond. So, good morning. How dare social services help illegal criminals when they don't even help Bahamians? Also, if town planning come into my yard, expect violence. Can't be condoning violence. Better go to your shanty town. Next text says, CA and Aaron, do you think the government should privatize immigration? I do, because this is legal immigration crisis. Anyway, I'll let you all
hold on. You know what privatized immigration is? That's called the transatlantic slave trade. Yeah. I ain't dissing you. I ain't trying to be disgusting. I ain't trying to be rude. I want you to feel the gravity of what it is you just said. Privatized immigration is the transatlantic slave trade. And I just finished paying the old white foreign slave owners in 2015 for the reparations that the British government gave them. You almost caused my heart jump out my chest.
Let me say this. Think about it this way. Now, I was telling Nuri literally, there's a higher authority over the prime minister, and he read it, he said it actually twice, right? So think about this. He has even a higher authority. Okay, you remember, I think it was the last general election. I think it was Frankie Campbell, former minister
of social services and urban development. Eh?
They had a sermon to a church where they was addressing the church. And to the church, I can't remember who it was, and they said, we here to help you, and I am one of you guys, right? So what if we're not looking at it the way we're really supposed to be looking at it? What if the authorities are afraid, based on the population here, based on the illegal passports that were given out over the last 40 to 50 years?
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly, over the last 40 to 50 years. What if they know that if they were to go and do these things right now, that they feel this would interfere in them being reelected for the next government of the Bahamas? See, let's go deeper than that. It's internationally, but then you got to look at the census report when they go and they look at all the people living in the Bahamas, and then they say, hey, I don't think we should. This is a tough one, because what we need to understand, in our government departments, there are Bahamians there who come from that background. I'm not discriminating against nobody.
Yeah, of Haitian descent.
But they have power in every different department in the Bahamas, Commonwealth of the Bahamas. They have an immigration, they have a Royal Bahamas Police Force, they have a parliamentarian, the politicians, we have them in the church, and et cetera. So they know within themselves that there's a big population that they don't want to upset here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
All right. I tell you one thing I know. Ain't no Haitian Bahamian, ain't no Bahamian of Haitian descent really going, like the only thing I think that we would be concerned about is see a shift eventually in immigration policy that favors the Haitian migrant. It ain't gonna change our attitudes about the church and morality. It ain't gonna change. I mean, it may improve, maybe improve a bit the culture of appreciation for education. But I see that issue of, and the question that should be asked, maybe in an academic space.
Are they afraid?
Right. To what extent has culture shifted with the of Haitian ethnicity, right? I see, that's an important question. To what extent has griot become a part of the national?
That Haitian spaghetti thing in every breakfast store.
Right? I love me some compa.
And I love griot.
The music, right?
I love griot.
And so these are reasonable questions. I think we just get, it gets a little uncomfortable. We get this high-level politics.
Yeah. Tex, I mean, Carla, I hear you. I'm going to patch you through right now, but I wanted to read this. No, I wanted to say this inside the record.
Yeah.
Vigilantism. Just recently, a politician said, since the government isn't doing anything to solve immigration, that the owners of land need to resort to vigilantism. No. In fact, bulldoze the land. Bulldoze the land and clear it because you have the authority. I just want to put that on the record. No, I got the caller here.
Yeah, I almost mad at you for even saying that.
No, to use the word vigilantism. But I need to patch the caller through because they've been holding on.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
What you believe about vigilantism?
You mean me?
Yes, you, sir.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all.
I
don't believe in that because anything you want to do, you got to try to do it right. Even if you do it aggressively right,
there's
something called aggressively right, you know.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what I mean when I say aggressively right. If someone break into your home, you could be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
If someone cross over your turf and you dare, not that you were not there. If you were there and they cross over your turf, you have the right to walk out. Now, if you were not there and they enter your turf and you meet them there, you had enough time to think, so you wouldn't kill them. Mm-hmm. That's different. Now, I wanna go on to this. Just give me 1 minute, please. Mr. Brown, how you doing?
I'm fine.
That's my you're my favorite talk show host. You ain't gotta worry about that. Anytime you come on the show, they should announce it.
Good
morning, sir. I'm saying y'all, don't get me wrong, Mr. Grant. Witness the one McCartney did was an excellent job in choosing you.
You know the saying.
Had a better choice. And Aaron Green, you were doing an excellent job also because
right
I like when you bring an opposition to the conversation.
I ain't mad at you no more.
I ain't nobody.
Mr. Brown inside me.
Hold on. Sir. Go ahead. Sir, you know anyone named Nuri?
Oh, Lord.
If I know anyone named Nuri?
Yeah, Nuri.
Yeah.
You know, what show he's be on? I'm just asking.
Okay, I talk about Mr. Grant.
This is Mr. Nuri, you talk.
Don't worry about that.
That's violent, sir. That's violent, sir.
Oh, you're so crazy.
You
can get the name mixed up sometimes because I ain't no regular talk caller, right?
Now we're good.
A lot.
We good, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Grant. You know what I mean, Mr. Grant.
No, you mean Mr. Nuri.
Come on.
You talking
that's
to Mr. Nuri?
In there, right?
No,
that's Mr. Nuri. That's Mr. Nuri.
Who won McCartney?
I don't even talk about that show.
No, that's Mr. Nuri.
Yes, sir. Howard Grant comes on at the 12 o'clock hour.
I'm doing a good job.
Howard Grant.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
This is CA Nuri show.
But you know Mr. Brown is my favorite. But anyhow. Mr. Brown.
They only put your leg. Go ahead, sir. They only put your leg.
Mr. Brown, this is what I want. This is what I want to bring some clarity to.
Yes, sir.
Right? In reference to the law. Now, the courts have the rights to put a stay on anything they want to have a state to do, and the government can't move forward with that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what happened with that injunction is people may have not remember or recall what happened. The court sent them back to try to work it out. The court had sent the counsel for the immigrants and an attorney general back to try to sit down and settle that matter amongst themselves. And then come back to the court and let the court know what they decided to do. Now, what happened is that is still on hold in that same position. So really what the Attorney General is really doing is playing hocus pocus. They have something called confidential information that they don't have to tell the public what they're doing. So what they're doing, they could have already settled that. But they wouldn't tell the public they already settled it. Right? Now, There's some things that can be done in reference to illegal immigrants, and the court can't do nothing about it, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. The police have the authority to arrest anybody they choose to arrest. The court can't stop them from arresting them. The police have the rights to do that. Now, the police officers have... Now, what happened is all the government needs to do, the government is not interested in doing it. So in case if they're listening and I think they're interested in stopping immigrants, I know they're not interested. So I want to make that clear. But this is what the law says. All you got to do is call in the police, say to the police, look here, what offense are these people violating? There's a myriad of offenses they're violating right now, including trespassing. Once they turn that over to the police look at their list and say, we got 10 on them. Charge them. The court cannot stop the police from charging them. Once the police charge them, they'll be before the court charging an offense. And then... That didn't mean they could move them off the land by charging them with an offense, but at least they will already get the message that, guess what? You're violating the law, and we're going to charge you with the offense which you committed. Now, the government could do that. Mm-hmm. But I am overly convinced that the government have no, absolutely zero interest in stopping these illegal immigrants. What they're trying to figure out is how to keep them here. It's the opposite of what we are trying to tell them to do. It's not that they're lost our ideas. They are lost to the fact that they're trying to figure out how the best way to keep these people here. Thank you all very much. Y'all have a nice day.
I appreciate it.
You have something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not old enough to be convinced of anything, but I think that we have a labor crisis. We have when I say that, not that we don't have men who could work. They're not organized. They're not ready to work. And the government is not ready to create a foreign direct investment regime that prioritizes the local labor in that development, right? I could imagine that they don't know what to do because they don't know what will happen if they send all the migrants back. Not that there's a concerted conspiracy to bring them here,
I ain't want to send all back.
No, me ain't want to send all back.
Some.
We talking about said we're coming on the sloops and keep on landing.
No, I don't want them to come here at all.
We don't want them here.
I try to send, you don't send all back. Yeah, but send some.
And I mean, countries around the world have immigration policies where they are inviting highly skilled labor to come in to the country.
We need some more tailors because the tailors here, the Haitian tailors here, are expensive. So we need to flood the Bahamas with Haitian tailors so the prices will go down.
Yeah.
So we can bring some of them.
This is Miss Nuri, you baiting me. I don't even have one my group of shay today, man.
Bring some of them. But I know we soon run out of time. Yeah. And this conversation, we have to have it again. On, yeah. I want to make this point. We'll have it again on Wednesday when we have that mashup thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to ask you, Aaron. Did you see recently in the certain news a sloop, a Haitian sloop, bypass the Bahamas, sail into the Florida Keys, landed on Key Largo, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And as a sail, they had the Bahamian flag, one of those giant Bahamian flags,
mm-hmm.
right? As they sail in to the United States.
So did a success.
Right? And that, to me, I got emotional, right? Seeing the flag in that way.
Yeah.
Then I said the audacity, right? And then I said the subliminal messengers.
Yeah,
that the Bahamian flag sailing.
There's two calls, but I remember the chargé d'affaires in responding this weekend to suggest they are prepared to let Bahamians travel visa-free, right? And she talked about the wonderful relationship between the Bahamas and the U.S. And so I could imagine some savvy Haitian on that boat say, look here, if we put up this Bahamian flag, we can sail right in. So I half glad and I half mad. I just want to say, stay safe on the water, whatever you're doing, please, and pray for you.
Koala, we're gonna stay right there. We're gonna have a quick break. We're gonna have a quick break, and I see both of you, and we're gonna patch you through right on the other side of this break. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM, and I guess repeat that, Guardian Radio with the AM with C.A. Nuri, not Howard Grant, but C.A. Nuri on the line. We'll be right back.
Family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. Can't be there in person? Go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. And what we're going to do is we're going to go straight to the lines. And I see already what Wednesday's show is going to be about, Aaron, where we meet up again.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's patch the callers through so to give them their time and the opportunity to speak. Go ahead, caller. This is Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Go ahead there. I appreciate you calling my name out loud there and didn't call me Mr. Grant.
I know that name, man. I know you, man. Mr. Grant.
Go ahead.
On a serious note, mm-hmm. why it looks like when you wrong, you get, as a foreigner, you get. Hello?
Listen, go ahead.
And as a Bahamian, you get punished when you do wrong.
You talking about a cruise liner? You ain't talking about a cruise liner. Okay, just checking.
No. I'm just saying, as a Bahamian, anything you do wrong, you get punished.
Mm.
As a foreigner, when you do something wrong, you get rewarded or you get a slap on the wrist. But anything. Simple as an American getting locked up and beating the police up Haitian coming here, overstaying and coming here illegal. Why is it only the Bahamians who get punished for all and a foreigner get rewarded or just get a slap on the wrist?
I got you right now. Thank you very much, caller.
Right. Okay.
Now, I bait Aaron with this, right? There's a saying that women, young girls, are expected to know better, and that young boys, you give them the benefit of the doubt because they didn't get nurtured by their mothers, right? That women grew up other young girls to take care of the house. They invested. In the Bahamas, we expect Bahamians to know better because we vested in them. And we tend to say, man, these foreigners ain't know no better, so therefore they get a loop. Think of, what do you think about that, Aaron or Valentino? go ahead. It's a concept. That's the only thing I can think of.
I really appreciate what it is the caller is saying, yeah. Right? But let's it's a bit complicated. Expats and migrants get treated differently, right? I appreciate what you're saying. On the surface, it looks like we're taking care of people who are coming to the Bahamas illegally. Now, we have some humanitarian obligations that require us to do things for people, even when they come in illegally.
See, you read, that's what you're talking about right there.
Right? Even when they come in illegally, and it appears as if we're giving them preferential treatment. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
And Bahamians are begging the systems that they are funding through their own taxpayer dollars for assistance and being told they're begging for something that they don't deserve, that doesn't belong to them. That gets frustrating. When expats come in and do it, we balance it with the value that they bring to the country. Oh, but you know, they are good. They bring in job opportunities to the country. We find ways. A lot of it is rooted in racism, colonialism, ideas that white is right. But what the most important thing is, what you see in is valid. You do feel like you are being mishandled and not prioritized in your own country. But there's a reason why the migrant is being prioritized in this way. Now, why we prioritize expats? I don't know.
I just like.
Anyway, let's go to the call. I appreciate that, Aaron. But let's go to the caller. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Scoochin.
Bless up.
Tanui.
Yeah, good morning, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was listening. You know, you're always having a great time. You know, I kind of agree with a lot of what Scoochin is saying, right? I have the same panoramic view of the inner city. But, you know, the caller last and the other two, I agree with them as far as the government being toothless, right? And because it really is what I am observing. And so this problem is going to continue because we're not really looking at the immigration. And so if they're supposed to be putting all of these work permits and all of these other documents on a digital platform. I was having a conversation with my cousin the other day, and we knew that the narrative would be, the excuse would be now that they've lost their documents, but then they should be corresponding with what is already on a digital platform.
There should be a record of it.
So this is what Sea Island was talking about. And so they're having a walkabout in nothingness, right? And the Bahamians can see on the ground that all administrations don't really want to do anything because they have sold us out for votes. And these people keep using the narrative of a nation for sale, a nation sold. And so what hurts me is those of us who can't see the real repercussions of the numerology of the migration, be sitting and talking a bunch of garbage every day. Scorsese is facing the fox. I'm facing the fox. You know the pros and cons of migration. Just look at the strain on the government budget. And so they're willing to spend money on all of these things, repatriating the people, but the Bahamian people is getting nothing tangible, and there's nothing reciprocal about paying tax. So what I decided to do is, I was wondering, certain Bahamians that I know who are justice of the peace. So we are facilitating the problems. Number one, Luby George should not be in the... I mean, he should be an immigration consultant. But why do you need to go to Luby to get a work permit when Luby already familiar with the people at immigration, when we know that immigration is the heart of the corruption problem? Because let me tell you why. You don't turn around and ask an immigration officer to give an account for their assets. So once you're not doing that, they will continue to enrich themselves and set up their own office in their houses. This is why we're finding these documents haphazardly all over the place. This is no mystery, man. This is our history. These people is mining under them a long time. Bunch of crooks.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate 52. But allow us to respond to that.
I want to say, let's clarify the statement about Luby.
Yes.
Luby doesn't authorize work permits.
No. He's not a JP at this present time, no.
Right. And you're saying that he translates documents.
Yes, he is an interpreter. He is a consultant, not an immigration consultant.
Yeah.
Immigration consultant regarding, you know, when you need translation. And
yeah, a certified translation.
Yes, he does that work. And then his community comes to him in order to for him to indication problems, et cetera, et cetera. But he's not an immigration consultant employed by the Department of Immigration. He's not that.
And you know, let's be very careful. I always talk about the 30-year energy crisis. You can't tell me nothing. I could tell you all the 30-year police been on go slow protests. You can't tell me nothing. I don't have any policy papers. I don't have any documents from the police union to say that. But I can tell you that. Let's be very careful though when we saying things like that. Those things we know through anecdotal evidence, and those things we know because we have verifiable truth we could bring to the table.
And let's go to the next caller. But plus, I don't know of any Haitian Bahamian JP. I'm sure there must be one or two or three.
There are many, man. No,
like one. Guess name one.
There are many.
The nearest one is Ronnie.
All you got to do is
Ronnie Moncur. The nearest one.
Ronnie Moncur.
Who else you know?
Ride through the inner city community and see the signs up. No,
they Bahamians.
No, ride through the inner city. You can see the signs. You can see them.
He just don't know any name. You can see the signs.
The signs are.
We can go that during the day and see which language they speak first. But let's go to the caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, you.
How you doing? Go ahead, sir.
Clearly, you don't go to the ghetto to see the stuff.
Yeah, I just want to know the names like a master.
You guys got to be there. You got to open your eye in your country. You be in your lawn. You sound old enough to know.
Caller, don't let him bait you. You know, he already think I is a grouper. Don't let him bait you.
Yeah, what it is.
Yeah.
How you got that, the immigration situation and... Right after we get independence, you put an illegal man in charge.
Yes, sir.
That's probably not illegal.
Like,
right?
Yes, sir.
But Branson and their daddy, them being, they no being from break. And plus they being accused for all diabetes.
Hold on. Yeah, okay, caller. This is what I was talking about right before the break. There are things that we know through anecdotal evidence and we think we know, and then there are things that are verifiable. Like, you may not feel like the Simbanets are Bahamians, like true Bahamians, but I think they true Bahamians. But I sort of appreciate the sentiment that you're trying to get at, but let's be very careful also. I just tell you about how the man tried to scam me out of lunch and I couldn't afford it. Now you want me and you get sued?
Yeah.
And then you will look at me and say, Miss Green, you're going to have to take the hit.
Yeah.
You know, let's be easy. Yeah. These are very touchy, sensitive, hot topic issues. But caller, I've appreciated all of the contributions you've made through the day.
Yeah, I did well.
And I want to bait. See, I see where's bait. Bait
me.
I was going to bait Scrooge, right?
No, right? Don't do that. Man.
I going back to the term vigilante. And I'm not sure if you saw the voice note here, the video where the politician is calling for Bahamians to become vigilantes.
No.
Right? And I know you're a crime interrupter.
Hold on.
No, let me make sure
ahead,
you know.
Ahead,
I know you're a crime interrupter. I know you have experience about violence and crime in the inner city.
Yes.
But when you see politicians using such words, such a colorful word. That's a colorful word I could use, Aaron? That's the right word? Such emotive words.
Loaded
words.
Yeah.
What do you say? And I need you to speak to your community in regard to that.
Let me just say this. It's make me sick in my stomach because... I don't think you're going to find one of the most violent person than me growing up in the inner city community. And I've transformed my life. And when I see people of power who has influence, to influence others to take up aggression against the next race, I would never follow nobody like that. Whether they're doing it for good cause or not, and they're making some sense. But a person is judged by his generosity, his personality. And if his personality is towards hurting other people, what you think he's going to do to me and you if he was to get power? He or she was to get power. Their personality. So I want you to, those who are listening, watch people's personality. All right? Anyone talking to me, violence against any other nation, you should never follow a person like that because I come from that. And I know that. I know a lot of guys lost their lives because of me. A lot of people ruined their lives because of me doing that kind of foolishness. And I refrain from that. And I would never ever want to be in a room with someone who in power speaking that type of way towards a next race of people or people on the whole. There's no one. There should be no one to follow. Yeah. Never follow them.
And our lives are too intertwined, man. Even in my advocacy, like my anti-imperialist advocacy, you can never forget the relationship with Britain, the lives that are intertwined, right? The histories, the families, the education opportunities. These things are far too complex to come at it in that very base way. No. You know,
with the wider society we have right now?
Not just that. We have to hold space for each other. We've experienced trauma individually and collectively. Yes. We have to go about healing and creating space for healing in a different way and be radical about it. We cannot let politics take us to this place, especially when we know that it is only the global circumstances that appears to pit the Haitian against the Bahamian. The Haitian migrant has helped to build the Bahamas with Bahamians.
Yes. But my Texas now is asking, what if you have generation property and you come across it, you go went to look at it, whatever it is, and you see a village or see people squatting on your land, Don't you have a duty of care and bulldoze it?
No.
Tell them I come in tomorrow.
No.
Be off my land.
You have a duty.
And bulldoze it.
You have a duty to occupy your land. I mean, you have that right to occupy your land. You can't just jump up in a bulldozer and knock it down. You got to go.
I see the property. I can't bulldoze it down.
That's right.
See the building.
Yes.
But where you been all this time? Not to disrespect the call.
I've been on East Street. When this
houses was getting built. Where were you? It's your property. Were you maintaining it? See, this is the thing, right? Yeah. You maintaining it? Haitian wouldn't have been able to build there if you was there. If you were there watching the property, they would not be able
to build
there.
You have to go through the courts.
There's no law that you can maintain it.
Yes.
Well, that's what... If you
the
don't
maintain it, no land. You're saying land the government's maintaining.
The government don't think it have to follow the law either, Cecil. Let's not go down that road.
You all always doing double standards for the Haitian. If the government don't maintain their land, you want me to maintain it.
But what happened in Abaco? What happened in Shantytowns? How they got there? The government wasn't doing their job sending the proper authority to go in and
investigate. Let me pass this call. Caller, you'll be the last caller for the day. You're going to be the last caller for the day.
No good.
Go ahead, caller. You can hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
Good morning.
You had the last 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, so watch this. Good morning to all the guests inside there. I love to hear the energy of activism and, you know, trying to change things for better in the country. I heard the last couple of callers. I just wanted to interject. So a couple of things, if I could say it quickly in the 20 seconds I get left.
Mm-hmm.
I am a real estate agent. A lot of people may know my voice and know me. I am also a Bahamian that has interests as well as heritage in a family island. Mm-hmm. So in both of those situations that were discussed, if you are, the law does really maintain that commonage land, for example, if you claim a piece, you have to maintain it. You don't touch it for 2 years.
See?
Somebody else can rightfully claim
you
it.
You see now?
That's what the raccoon tells
you. See? Attorney. All right, then.
So yes, please sir. Go ahead and verify this yourself.
Yes, sir.
You see?
So that's the two. And then in reference to, the law, even though it doesn't maybe explicitly state that this day and this time, there is stipulations in there. I can give you that example of commonage law. And if you talk to your attorney's friends, they can tell you the law regarding private land, generation land, which is slightly different. It's a number of things that it ain't hard to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And until you all mention that leading people into aggression, I may have been open to, a newer political party, and I still may be, actually. But in any event, when you... I never thought of that perspective. So I just want to congratulate Schwartz for sharing that, long story short.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, y'all peace and blessings. Y'all have a good day. And it's a good end to the show. I only catch the last 15 minutes, but it was solid.
Thank you, my brother.
I appreciate
peace
it.
Peace and love.
Blessings.
Wonderful. Aaron, we had the tail end.
Yeah.
Right? We know we have Wednesday to hash some of these things.
All I want to say is that we are not lawyers and we just trying.
Yeah.
We ain't lawyers.
Scrooge, I truly appreciate you joining us today.
That's awesome.
We love
your
insight, especially in the city.
Awesome.
I want to invite you back to talk about what's happening in your community.
Oh,
so
definitely.
I'll make time for that.
Definitely.
This has been Guardian Radio in the AM. And listen to the name with C.A. Nuri.
With a G.
No Howard G. Grant.